No one could deny that Andy was a bona fide chef at last. But even now, Italian cuisine was one of the few things she took great pains to avoid. Too many tomatoes. Too many memories of dinners from a can. Too many foreign terms and techniques waiting to expose the gaps in her knowledge. Her visit to Italy had been a minefield of potentially awkward situations. And after 2 weeks in Florence on a contractually mandated PR blitz for her network, she was counting the seconds until she'd be on a plane back to the States. Andy checked her watch, noting the time with an exaggerated sigh, though it was only 2 minutes later than the last time she'd looked. Her driver had yet to arrive. She stared one way, then the other, down the impossibly narrow street, because though it would have been little more than an alleyway back home, there was a fair chance in Italy that a road like this would be expected to handle two directions of traffic, with a line of cars parked along both curbs. She was hardly a fan of driving in the best circumstances, but in this environment, it was near impossible. No wonder the limousine was late. It was probably trapped down some even narrower street, wedged in so tightly that it would need a shoehorn and a tub of grease to get it unstuck. Chalk up one more reason she was glad to be leaving. Of course, her destination didn't hurt either. In less than a day, she'd be in Los Angeles, eating sushi and soaking up the sun at the start of her 3-month all-expenses-paid sabbatical. It was by far the biggest and best of the prizes she'd won. The network had arranged a stunning rental just steps away from the beach, with a professional kitchen that would make developing and testing the recipes for her cookbook a breeze. Assuming, that is, that she ever made it to the airport. Reaching a hand into her coat pocket, Andy rooted around for her phone, then dialed a number from memory. "Tracy, it's Andy," she said, when the call went straight to voicemail, though leaving her name wasn't really necessary. After a year of working together, the woman assigned to be her network liaison and all-around personal assistant should know who she was. "I've been waiting by the gate on Borgo Pinti for almost 10 minutes, and there's no sign of the car. Call me, okay? Better yet, could you call the driver and tell him to hurry? It's freezing out." She stuffed the phone back into her pocket, but left her fingers buried deep inside the fleece lining, as she debated whether to shove her other frozen hand in alongside it, or try to thaw them both with the warmth of her breath. Neither alternative seemed likely to do much against the biting wind. On top of the tomato-slathered food and the insane traffic, the unexpectedly cold winter weather had earned the entire region of Tuscany its third strike. Wasn't Italy supposed to be warm? Based on the photos she'd seen in tour books, Andy had been preparing for rolling vineyards lined with towering cypress and dazzling sunflowers. Despite any other misgivings, she'd been looking forward to sitting on a sun-drenched patio and sipping wine in the afternoons. She had not expected snow. If she'd wanted her cheeks chapped so badly that the air hurt her face, she could have stayed in New York, where at least most of the graffiti was in English. Her phone buzzed with an incoming call, and relief filled her at the sight of the network's number. "Keep it together now. Just 24 hours, and you'll be in the land of golden sunshine." Tracy was a wonder. She could be trusted to get to the bottom of this missing ride situation, and Andy would be settling herself into an oversized leather seat in the Masaccio VIP lounge before she knew it, downing a well-earned cocktail or two while she waited for her flight to board. "Tracy, what's the deal with the car? You know how I feel about this place. If I have to hear one more Italian grandmother say what a bad influence I am on the younger generation, I might lose it completely." Of all her experiences in Italy, being told off by a bunch of old grannies had been the worst. Andy swore she could still hear them. Had it been her spiky hair with the flame orange tips that they objected to, or her reputation as a famously out and proud lesbian that was too much for their old world sensibilities to handle? Oh no, it had been her endorsement of the microwave oven. The microwave, one of the most important inventions of the 20th century. And one would think she'd suggested killing someone. Sure, it wasn't as traditional as a regular oven, but sometimes that's just how she rolled. They called her the quick and easy queen for a reason. Practicality, baby. But apparently, any cooking method or recipe that hadn't been in use for as long as the Pope had been Catholic was a capital offense in these parts. Andy was just trying to offer reasonable alternatives so that people like her mother didn't have to turn to cans of spaghetti and frozen dinners to feed their kids. The way those old ladies carried on, she was single-handedly destroying a generation of young Italian cooks by teaching them how to make a healthy dinner in under 3 hours. The horror. "It's not like I don't know other methods," Andy fumed. Despite being self-taught, hadn't her win proven that she could cook with the best of them? But being the quick and easy queen was all part of the image the network had cultivated for her. Viewers loved someone a little rough around the edges, someone who had pulled herself up by her own bootstraps. She would have been happy to change it up a little, show a little bit more of the wide range of skills she'd mastered over the years. But the executives had been adamant. They'd called it her brand. If she wanted to enjoy the perks of being a winner, she'd have to play by their rules.
"Miss Bartlett?"
Her spinning brain had momentarily forgotten about the phone in her hand. But now, an unfamiliar male voice cut through her mental rant. Andy frowned.
"You're not Tracy."
No, ma'am. This is Todd from the network legal department."
Why am I talking to the legal department?